Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back tomorrow. My faithful bride, Mary Danielle from Bible with the Barbers, is filling in for Jess. Welcome, my love.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming here. And don't forget, I have lunch with you after this show.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, today's going to be a special show. Oh, my gosh. They're all special, but I love what we can inspire you to tell you about good things that are happening, especially in the church and in the world, because we have to fight back. We're at a cultural war right now. We have a civil war of morality, and we have God's view, a biblical worldview, not a worldly view, and so they're coming in at odds with each other, and we have to step up. But today's topic we're going to be covering is like Joe Biden's budget calls mothers birthing people. People. That's a lie. They're mothers. And what happens is when you don't have God in your life, you come up with your own God and you decide on things to be true. So that's a topic we'll cover. Also, Dr. Fossey uses taxpayers' dollars to fund experiments with body parts from aborted babies and young people, not us old guys. They're calling for his firing or resignation for this. Also, my good news story, a couple of them. Arkansas has become one of the most pro-life states in America, protecting babies from abortion. Find out why and see if we can change our state, California, to do that. Also, Mississippi's governor, he's actually saying Roe versus Wade should be turned over. It's a wrong decision, and that's what's coming through the courts because of Mississippi. And my good news story, a little 14-year-old girl with Down syndrome, she cries tears of joy when she makes the dance team, and it's so precious to watch on YouTube. And at the same time, senators are requesting a vote to a bill to ban abortions on Down syndrome babies. So much more, Mary. I got more and more. New Hampshire, not a state that's known for its orthodoxy, it passes a bill banning late-term abortions. And you know what the difference is with up in New Hampshire this time? They Democrat people got kicked out, and Republicans came in. They looked at their platform and said, we're supposed to be pro-life. So you better be. If you say you're a Republican, then you better be pro-life because that's your platform. Unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, the Democrats have a platform that says we're going to kill unborn babies. And I understand for those who say, well, I'm still a Democrat. And I'm like, why be someone that doesn't? I mean, I'm a Catholic because of what it believes. It's like saying same thing as I'm a Catholic, but I don't believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. You're not Catholic. All right, I believe in abortion. You're not Catholic. Yeah, that's a good portion of people who believe in these horrible things, and their names, they're marked as Catholic, but they have to believe in what you're joining. At least that's how I take it. But before we get to all of these wonderful titles and topics, we always love to give soul food, like I say to Jesse. Soul food is the gospel. So, Mary Danielle, you do the Bible with the Barbers. You have this biblical studies. You've done a lot of teachings on the Bible. You have your master's in biblical studies, your theology degree from USF, and you're now applying that knowledge to share the gospel and to share Bible studies here at our chapel every Tuesday at 7:30. If people are here today, 7 o'clock, we should say, we're going to be upstairs because we have the funeral. But Mary, let's go ahead and read that gospel for today, please.
All right, and the gospel today is from Matthew. It's chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. It is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp to put it under a bed or a basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And what an awesome gospel. What a calling to all Christians today. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Are you being salty? Are you being light? What does it mean? What does salt do? It brings out the flavor in food, and it also preserves. Mm-hmm. So as salt of the earth, we're supposed to preserve the truth. We're supposed to bring the truth of Christ to the whole world and to bring peace, which is the fruit of knowing Christ and the light of the world. We're supposed to enlighten men to know that we were made by God and we were made for God, and we don't have a lasting city here on this earth, and we didn't make ourselves, and we can't decide for ourselves who we are or what we're going to be in terms of male or female or our skin color. We were made by God. We were made by God to praise, reverence, and serve the Lord our God, and to bring him to the world. Now, what's happened in our world? Well, unfortunately, many times people do not act as if they believe anymore that God is God and they are not, or that their faith should make a difference. Mm-hmm. We live in a world, unfortunately, where a lot of people think that, well, yeah, I'm Catholic, but it doesn't affect my life. What?
Doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make any sense. That, you know, it's funny, people badmouth Vatican II a lot, but it's interesting because the apostolate is one of the clearest expressions of charity. The Second Vatican Council emphasized the Christian duty to be apostolic. Mm-hmm. Baptism and confirmation confer this duty, which is a right. Lumen Gentium 33. So much so that because the Christian is part of the mystical body of Christ,
right,
the church, a member who does not work at the growth of the body to the extent of his possibilities must be considered useless both to the church and to himself.
Was that from the Council of Trent? Or where was that from again?
That's from Vatican II.
Oh, that's it. I'm joking. Yes, of course. But you know what's shocking, Mary? People never quote that quote.
No, they don't.
I've not heard that being quoted.
Right. But the point is, it's a commentary on what Christ said.
Yes.
You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And Thérèse of Lisieux had this to say, and this is really,
powerful.
Really powerful.
Yeah.
I see now that true charity consists in bearing with the faults of those about us, never being surprised at their weakness, but edified at the least sign of virtue. I see above all that charity must not remain hidden in the bottom of our hearts, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. It seems to me that this lamp is the symbol of charity. It must shine not only to cheer those who love best, but to all in the house. So our charity is toward everyone. Remember, as children, we learned that act of love. And it's, you know, oh my God, I love you above all things with my whole heart and soul. I love my neighbor as myself for the love of thee. I forgive all those who have injured me, and I ask pardon for all whom I have injured. So we are supposed to be bringing Christ to the world. And this has been a perennial problem with the people of God, hasn't it?
Yes.
Back to the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The people of God were supposed to bring Gentiles to God, but they got in among the Gentiles and they started worshiping the Gentile gods. And just because Christ came, it didn't change human nature. He gave us grace.
That's right.
He gave us grace that Moses couldn't give us because Moses wasn't God. But we have to ask for the grace, and we need to live as if we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And it's interesting because when reading this gospel this morning, it said, when the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Okay, we are the salt. So if we've lost our flavor, if we've lost our zeal for the gospel, if we no longer believe that the gospel is the most important thing in our life and that bringing Jesus Christ to the world is the most important thing in our life, then we're good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot.
Mm.
And you wonder why the world is trampling Christians underfoot? Now, not all Christians have lost their salt. But the reality is a majority of Christians don't even believe they need to worship God anymore.
Yeah.
They don't even believe they need to pray. I mean, we even heard a priest one time on a radio station say, well, you don't have to ask God for forgiveness. Excuse me? Ask and you will receive.
Amen.
Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. So, you know, are we salt? Salty salt. Are we light? And salt is healing also, you know. Salt is very healing. But it tell you what, if you put salt in a wound, it burns.
Ooh.
But it can heal the wound. You know, but you don't want to put too much because it's also corrosive. So we don't want to be corrosive. We're not beating people up with the gospel, but we do want to present the gospel. And we need to live the gospel to the full. We're all called to be saints. Every Christian is called to be a saint. Every Christian is called to spread Christ to the whole world. We're not called just to keep Jesus hidden in ourselves. And,
nope.
Oh, you know, I'm so happy I belong to Jesus, but I'm not going to tell anybody about it because, gosh, I might offend somebody. No. By the way, it is Christ who sets us free. The Ten Commandments aren't 10 chains that shackle us down.
Right.
The gospel isn't a prison. It's our freedom. We become free. It's only when we're fearing death that we become slaves of sin our whole life long.
Well said, Mary. And, you know, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room right now, Archbishop Sheen, on that locomotive full steam ahead. This fits right in with what you're saying, Mary, and the whole show. It's about pride. Here's what Sheen says. Pride is at its peak when man cuts himself off from any relation to God and thus makes himself a god. He elevates his relative character into an absolute, very much like a carbon copy, calling itself the original. I thought, wow, isn't that what's happening right now in our culture? We've replaced God with me, myself, and I.
Wow.
Yep. That's Fulton Sheen at you. Hey, I want to give you some good news. We've got a dinner for our donors on Friday, and we'd love to have you come. If you do want to go, call 877-526-2151. There's still room for the men's conference this Saturday, the 11th of June. You're welcome to come. Go to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. It's going to be a great men's conference. Jesse will be there. We've got Bishop Strickland. I saw part of what he said on St. Joseph. It's going to be a video that he did specifically for you, our listener. This will happen at the men's conference on Saturday. Also, after today's show, Bishop Strickland will give his presentation after the Terry and Jesse show. You won't want to miss that either. All right, we'll come right back. Stay with us. We'll talk more about what President Biden said about mothers being called birthing people. What? We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. You can see my wife, Mary Danielle, is filling in for Jesse. Jesse will be back tomorrow. I want to give a big plug to the Midwest Catholic Family Conference. It's their 22nd year they're putting on a conference. We actually have been co-sponsoring. Well, we sponsored it for years. And one of the things we've done over the last 30 or 40 years is we start things and then walk away and let people locally run it. We call it subsidiarity. But if you go to CatholicFamilyConference.org, you can find out all about it. They got some great, great speakers coming. I think Kimberly Hahn will be there this year. And it's in August 6th to the 8th in Wichita, Kansas. And then another good conference. Again, Father Don Calloway, for those who don't know, 20-some years ago, we did his No Turning Back video, and he was a newly ordained priest, and you can see all the, well, he's probably the most popular Catholic priest in America. He'll be at a Holy Martyrs Divine Mercy conference. I'll be there giving a presentation on June 19th, and the way to get a hold of that is just call 951-219-5916. That's 951-219-5916. I want to plug it. I'll be there to promote Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And I might add, Mary Danielle, when our family was young, when we got married in the late 80s, we started these family conferences with Dr. Scott Hahn. I think our first one was January 4th, 1990, down in San Diego. And we've done them in Florida. We've done them in Rockford, Illinois, of the East Coast. And it's great because people picked up on it. We can't do everything.
Right.
I learned a long time ago, if you can start things, we just like Lighthouse Catholic Media, I started that back, oh my gosh, what was that, 2005. And now it's part of the Augustine Institute. They have over 1 million people subscribing to Form. There's 8,800 parishes putting CDs in the back of churches. What God has just been so good to us and helping us start these things. And then it's nice to be able to walk away because it's overwhelming. It's too much work for, you know, for one guy. And so I'm just happy that we were able to help start these conferences. And hopefully they will continue long after God calls us home.
Amen.
Mary Danielle, I have to say this. President Joe Biden, he's a baptized Catholic. We need, just like what the little flower said, pray for his conversion. I mean, the little flower even prayed for people who were at the guillotine having capital punishment when she was young, a young nun, praying for their conversion. And she actually witnessed it through a newspaper clipping that the man she had been making sacrifices repented before he was killed through a capital punishment, and he actually went to confession before he died. And so, I mean, now that's the kind of fruit the little flower has. And so Joe Biden, President Biden, I'm praying for his conversion because he's the president of the United States and he's a baptized Catholic and he's doing everything opposed to his Catholic faith when it comes to morality.
Right.
And here's what he did. The administration is trying to redefine terms. And this is what happens, like what Bishop Sheen said in his quote for today.
Yeah.
You know, pride, we redefine the terms.
Yeah.
We have not a biblical worldview. We have a worldly view of the world. So his administration is trying to redefine terms related to pregnancy and motherhood to push a radical agenda on the American people. The goal apparently is to make irrationally violent and ultimately devaluing the human life appearing reasonable. And so there are groups right now that what I like about it is they have groups that are calling Students for Life are calling, again, for this to stop, which are good. The bottom line, Mary Danielle, is you're a mother. You've had six children. And I would think that common sense shows that, you know, you got to ask yourself, what in the world is he calling people that have babies birthing people? You know, there's got to be an agenda behind here. But I just think that all of us have to humbly say, no, that's not true.
Right.
What's true here? What are your thoughts?
Exactly. What is true? A birthing person. Well, excuse me. In the life of a child, the birth process is a very small portion of that life. Mm-hmm. And the life of the child doesn't actually begin even at the moment of conception. The life of the child begins in a sense, their training and their begins when the parents of that child decide to be adults and they decide, you know what? When we have children, we're going to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of our children because little children have great needs. And no, I'm not a birthing person. I'm a mother by the grace of God.
Amen.
God made me a mother. And that means that from the moment of the conception of that child until that child reaches adulthood, it's my responsibility to try and guide and direct that child in such a way that they can make their own choices in life, that they will be free to make their own choices, but they will know where they came from and where they're going. They were made by God, they were made for God, and they were going to God, and that therefore all of their choices are informed by the reality of who really made them.
Yep.
I didn't make the children. Terry didn't make the children.
Nope.
God made the children.
Amen.
We co-create with him.
That's right.
Because he reaches down and touches us and makes that possible. It's what he made.
Again, Mary, that's the world biblical view. That's the way God designed it. And so when man fouls it up and says, I got a better idea, it just doesn't work. Mary Danielle, Dr. Fossey is using taxpayer dollars to fund experiments with baby parts from aborted babies. Now, this is horrible, but you got to remember all these emails that we talked about last week that are out now in the public showing his lying about the coronavirus, lying and supporting China. I mean, this man is dangerous. And finally, now it's all coming out after this coronavirus that this man, who everybody put their trust in, was a hoodlum. And the Students for Life are calling for Fossey's resignation or firing. And it's a new video from the Center of Medical Progress detailing research in which infants remain harvested from abortions at Planned Parenthood. See, we've got to keep hitting that drum to show that this is lies, what they're doing. They're giving us a false impression that this is a good thing, which is killing unborn babies. And I think, Mary Danielle, along with our president, he's wanting us to start paying more for all abortions in California where we live. They don't want people to pay for them. They want our tax dollars to pay for the killing of innocent life. Now, Mary, I know your position because I live with you about Fossey. I mean, he's also a baptized Catholic.
God have mercy on
him. And Pelosi, baptized Catholic. What it seems to me, Mary, and I'll let you say a few words here, but it just seems that the Catholics who fall away from their faith seem to be the most bitter ones and to cause the most havoc and to collaborate with evil more than people who aren't baptized.
Well, it's interesting. In philosophy, there's a Latin expression, corruptium optissimum pessimum, the corruption of the best is the worst. So Catholics have the fullness of the faith, and
yep.
when you corrupt them,
yep.
they become more evil. And the reality is what we have here is we have a cultural war going on. As
yeah,
says,
civil war, I call it.
And it is. Well, there's a civil war now, but it's a cultural war of life against death.
Yes.
Life versus death. And what is, you know, Dr. Fauci and President Biden and Speaker Pelosi are promoting a culture of death.
They are.
Again, as Dr. Nathanson said, when he wanted to legalize abortion, genetic engineering of words, we have to change the language.
Yes.
We have to redefine it. So again, now, and the problem with Fauci is Fauci has lied, and it's become very evident that he has lied.
Oh, yeah.
The emails are coming out, and not everybody put their trust in him. And everything that President Trump tried to do to help America, really, Fauci just got in there that last year when we had the coronavirus thing, and he just fought for the rights of China. You can't call this the Wuhan virus, and you can't say this came out of a lab in China, and you can't. And it turns out, he knew where it came from.
Oh, yeah.
He knew it came out of a lab. As a matter of fact, he was giving money to a researcher here in the United States who was working with the bat lady in China, the lady who was taking the virus from the bats and training it how to penetrate human cells. No, they don't just naturally do that. You have to train it in the lab to do that. So, and we, to me personally, Dr. Fauci, we pray for his conversion, yes. We pray for Joe Biden's conversion, Nancy Pelosi's conversion, but we also pray that they will do penance for their sins. And if that means they have to go to jail now, that they will realize how evil what they have done is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I remember a woman in Italy, a parliament member, said that Bill Gates needs to be tried.
Well, they're in bed together, in a sense. Mary Danielle.
Right.
Bill Gates and Fauci, they talk all the time together. And let's be honest, follow the money. They have an interest in this COVID-19 to make a lot of money on this.
Right. And Bill Gates is the one who's founded some of these foundations that Fauci is involved with.
Right.
And the reality is they need to be tried for crimes against humanity. And yes, Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, and now President Biden and Nancy Pelosi, they need to be tried for crimes against humanity, because what they're doing and what they're promoting is the death of the of humankind.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting, Mary Danielle, if you thought about this, folks listening, that if you saw a particular species killing its babies, what would you think of that species? Would you say they might have a problem?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I remember when I was in junior high and National Geographic did a special on a species, that is exactly what was happening. It was way back when I was in junior high.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember all the details. I just remember the scientists are just saying, well, you know, something's wrong. Something's wrong here.
Yeah.
And then that was when I was in junior high back in the 1970s. And then I saw Roe versus Wade, and I saw the culture of death and the contraceptive mentality. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If something's wrong when an animal species is killing its young, isn't something wrong when human beings want to kill their young?
Good point. And I think that our listeners, you can use this story to at least ask questions to your friends regarding abortion and saying, look, we're killing off our offspring. And we think now everybody knows that China is going to say that you can have up to 3 children, and because they know that demographics are going to kill their country. And the whole Western world is losing its population because more people are killing their infants through abortion. And so that has to come to an end if we're going to survive. And, you know, the Catholic Church has the answer. It's a biblical world view of marriage. Mary, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And the reality that every human person is made in God's image as a person to be loved. Right. And marriage was made by God to image the Trinity.
Amen.
And the Trinity is not, God is not a solitude unto himself. He's a community of love and life. St. John Paul II said, he's actually that God is the first family, because he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that was part of the gospel today. Jesus says, your Father in heaven. And he uses the word Father in the Sermon on the Mount 17 times.
Wow.
Jesus came to reveal the Father. God is our Father, and he loves us. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like God in terms of love. And love and life go together. And God made marriage in the beginning. He made them male and female. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. And there never came a time when he said, oh, you're too fruitful now. You need to stop multiplying. No. But within God's design.
Yeah.
You know, remember, mothers are mothers.
Yes.
And if possible, mothers, nurse your babies. Go to the Lecha League. Find out. No, it's not. We're not animals. It's not instinct for us. We have to learn. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's not fair. Well, that's the way it is.
Absolutely. The biblical worldview of marriage is the answer. Especially, Mary, before I go to the next topic, I want to talk a little bit about contraception and the difference between NFP and artificial birth control. There's a good distinction that needs to be made, and I think you're going to like to hear what that is when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm laughing because at the break time, I gave a teaser, Mary, about the difference between contraception, artificial birth control, and NFP. And I just want to make these distinctions because the world is so mixed up about what marriage is. I saw the latest Gallup poll, a record high 70% of people in the United States support so-called same-sex marriage. So we're all mixed up. I think the report was like 60% Catholics even support it because of their lack of knowledge. So one of the things I feel strong about Virgin Most Powerful, and I know you do too, is to teach people the faith.
Amen.
And so I'd like to make, and I have the catechism open to Article 7. It's paragraph 1601 where it talks about the sacrament of matrimony. I would recommend to all of us, including my wife and I, to go back to the catechism and read. The one I have is all highlighted in yellow because it, you know, it's a, you know, like I'll just say this real quick. The matrimonial covenant by which a man and a woman establish between themselves a partnership for the whole of life is by its nature ordered towards the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of offspring. This covenant between baptized persons has been raised by Christ the Lord to dignify of a sacrament. That is going to introduce you, Mary Danielle, to answer the question about the difference between natural family planning, we call it NFP, and artificial birth control. What's the difference?
The difference is intrinsic, that is, by their very nature. Artificial contraception, by its very nature, is opposed to what God has made. It is artificially separating what God has made, love and life. He joined love and life together in the marital covenant. Mm-hmm. You know, be fruitful and multiply when he gave Adam to Eve. And what happens with NFP is we're using the natural rhythm of the woman's body. We're not doing it artificially. We're not saying to God, no, I'm closed off to life. But we also are being responsible. You know, unfortunately, in a world where women don't nurse their babies, a woman can have a baby every 10 and a half months. Mm-hmm. And a child's needs aren't just physical. An infant has incredible emotional needs that need to be met. An infant needs to be held. It needs to be loved. It needs to be nurtured and cuddled. And when that doesn't happen, a child grows up with something called emotional deprivation syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it stays with them their whole life, and it can retard their emotional growth.
Yep.
And it does retard their emotional growth. Yep. And we need to be concerned for the whole person, not just their physical needs. Yeah, you can give them a bottle. That's a physical need. But are you nurturing the child like they're supposed to be? And you know, if you don't nurse your babies, then your babies aren't naturally spaced. Nursing is a natural way of spacing the children so that babies aren't born every 10 and a half months. And I'm not, you know, it's not for me to choose, you know, when the children come into the world. We are open to life. And in natural family planning, we're not putting anything artificial in God's way. And what it also does is it brings the couple together in communication and respect.
Exactly.
So, if, for instance, if the woman is sick or she's tired because they've had so many children close together and she needs a break, then they have to communicate together and they need to respond to one another's needs. And it opens up those lines of communications. And it's a very delicate area of marriage. And but if you learn to communicate well with your spouse regarding your sexuality, and the two of you learn to share with one another the difficulties you have, you will learn to grow in your love. Yeah. And you will learn to grow in respect for one another. So artificial contraception is taking something very artificial and putting it into your body. By the way, read the package inserts. It's very dangerous stuff.
Absolutely.
It's like any man-made medicines. They're very dangerous. But it also separates love and life. And in addition, there's another aspect to artificial contraceptives that they can be abortifacient. That is, a conception takes place,
yep,
But they have made the woman's womb an unfriendly place for a baby, and the baby is miscarried, is spontaneously aborted.
Sure.
That's not, you didn't choose that, but that's part of it. But so we want to do things the way God made them.
That's the bottom line.
Be open to life. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we need to take responsibility for the children we bring into this world. Remember the good of the spouses and the upbringing and education of the children. And that's in all aspects of life. The parents are the first educators in every aspect of life. Your emotional, your psychological, your physical, your spiritual.
Yeah.
All of it, the whole person.
Well said. Thank you for that explanation. I think people will find that interesting. I got good news. You know, we live in California. My wife and I, we're empty nesters now, but we still live here in California, and we see the craziness, and it's really refreshing to hear other states that are coming and speaking out for the unborn. Like Arkansas has become one of the most pro-life states in America, protecting babies from abortion.
Praise
so,
God.
Yeah, there, Arkansas, they're just doing great work to protect the unborn. Also, Mississippi, not far from them, is another state. The governor, Tate, he says, look, Roe versus Wade should be overturned. We need to protect babies. He said it was a bad decision, and we need to, and everybody's seeing that now. And even with the Roe versus Wade movie that Dr. Bernard Nathanson's all about him and how he, again, lied about abortion when he was a secular Jew, non-believing Jew. He told the world that we need to change the language and say that it's product of conception, and, you know, to all kinds of lies about statistics, people having abortions, you know, outside of clinics, and people are dying, and he made all these lies. He's talked about it, and then when he got converted and put out the Silent Scream video, go online to YouTube and put Silent Scream. That was Dr. Bernard Nathanson's doing, and that just converted him. So technology converted him to being pro-life. And then the greatest thing happened to him in the 90s. He became a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I met him. As a matter of fact, just on a side note, I was at a clinic here in the late 80s with an Operation Rescue. And I didn't know, we locked arms. And who was next to me? Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who I'd given cassette tapes of Bishop Sheen to. And we got arrested back then. This was before I married my wife. Mm-hmm. But the point of it is, great man, inspirational. But again, with the technology now, let's be honest. Let's get the science. These people who say, you know, we're going to kill babies. Come on. I want you to say that. You know, the science shows that this is an unborn baby that is alive in the mother's womb. And you're willing to kill that baby? Well, again, how do you have a world biblical view? By having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. And these people who say they're Catholic and they're for killing unborn babies, they're not Catholic.
And are they even human anymore?
Yeah.
Seriously, you want to kill the most innocent, most defenseless?
Yeah.
Every human being realizes you defend the defenseless.
Yeah.
You know, this is the sin against Abel. Abel, who was innocent and killed by his brother, his blood cries out from the soil for vengeance. It cries out to God for vengeance. The souls, the blood of the innocent children cries out to God for vengeance. These are innocents. They didn't do anything wrong.
No. And you know, Mary, here's the bottom line I think happens along with abortion. When it was legalized with Roe versus Wade back in 1973, people said, well, it's legal, so it must be okay.
You know,
and again, in 2015, when they approved same-sex so-called marriage, and then everybody said, well, it's legal, it must be okay.
No.
You know, let me make a distinction. Again, the Supreme Court is not God.
No.
The President of the United States is not God.
No.
The government cannot supersede what God has given to us. And so I want to remind everybody that our view is a world biblical view of life, not a secular worldview that says, what's in it for me?
Right. And legal doesn't equal moral.
Exactly.
Legal doesn't equal right. Okay.
Right.
So it's not right to kill unborn babies, not even through chemicals or through, you know, contraceptives. It's never right. And it's never right to use people as objects. And this is what the contraceptive, the culture of death does. It makes human beings objects to be used, commodities to be bought and sold, toys to be played with. That's no, we're not. We're children of God, made in God's image, as persons to be loved and to love.
Yeah.
And so we don't treat one another as objects. We're not dollar signs, people. No. You know, the government can buy you for a dollar. Well, that's sad because, no, you were made by God and you were made for greatness. You were made for union with God. You weren't made for degradation.
Exactly.
And rejecting God's commandments degrades us. It doesn't set us free. It makes us slaves. It makes us slaves, by the way, of our enemy who wants us in hell for all eternity. The devil doesn't want us to do God's will, and he doesn't want children in the world because God became a man. And when he became a man, Jesus Christ became a little child.
Exactly.
So every time the devil sees a little baby, he remembers that he was defeated.
Well said.
By a baby.
Well said. Repeat that because I think that is so beautiful that every time the devil sees a little baby,
he remembers that it was a little baby that defeated him.
I love it. I love it. Mary Danielle, I forgot one more good state, and it's New Hampshire. The Senate passed a bill banning late-term abortions. Now, unfortunately, New Hampshire is one of a handful of states that allow abortion up to birth, just like California.
Yeah.
But what changed is a little move, like a football game. You can't get a touchdown, but you can get a first down.
Right.
The people of New Hampshire kicked out in a local election the Democrat who was running the state, and a Republican came in and said, "Look, our policy is pro-life." So now the change is made. That's why voting is also very important as Catholics. We have to be informed. And here's the other thing I will say about voting. Let's don't vote with our pocketbook and say, what party is going to give me the most freebies,
yeah.
You know, in an age of entitlements. Let's vote with a world biblical view that says we need to protect all human beings. This is why, I'll just say it here, you know, people come out and say, oh, it's Black Lives Matter. Of course Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. But here's the kicker that bothers me when they say this. About 40% of the babies that are being aborted are Black babies, okay? They don't seem to be concerned at all about those Black babies that are being aborted. So I don't take much for these people who say Black Lives Matter because they're lying. Again, it's not all Black Lives Matter. It's only the ones that are outside the mother's womb. And when I've confronted them, they've said that to me. So what? Well, see, that's not a world biblical view. So we have to stand up and say, what is true here?
Right.
What is true? What is true is that that's a baby in the mother's womb. It's not a banana or an apple. And the truth is what sets us free. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the dignity of human beings, especially even ones that have Down syndrome. You'll find out more about that. Stay with us on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Mary Danielle's filling in for Jess. Jess will be back tomorrow. I mentioned about little people who have Down syndrome, babies. Certain parts of the world, they're automatically aborted because they say that that life's not worth living. Well, I have a beautiful testimony of a 14-year-old girl with Down syndrome. She's crying with tears of joy on this YouTube video because she's happy that she made the dance team. And I just think that just touched so many hearts. And I think that when people show that to someone, say, well, should she have not been born? No, of course not. Or, you know, now the senators here in our country are requesting a vote on a bill to ban abortions on babies with Down syndrome.
Amen.
You know, we're really starting to respond with this biblical worldview that all lives are sacred.
Right.
And Mary, I think of all the how this is continues not just the preborn, but the longborn.
Amen.
And in the sense of elderly,
right.
That we say, well, you know, this person's life isn't really worth living. Let's give them a shot, give them a pill, and they can get out of the way. Again, it's the attitude of selfishness and also pride that Bishop Sheen talked about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Pride goes before the fall. But Mary, I know you want to comment on that value of life, but I have to throw one more thing in. Yesterday, you weren't here. Matt and I were talking about something. Tell you again, a world biblical view. The Archbishop Emeritus Chaput of Philadelphia, he said this, that transgenderism is the final rebellion against God.
Yeah.
And he basically is saying that biblically speaking, again, it's a world biblical view. He's saying that the idea that these sex changes attempts that people are taking is the foundation sin of adultery. Is in an interview with Tucker Carlson on Fox News, he said, you know, Catholics talk about original sin. Other Christians talk about the sin of Adam and Eve. He said, instead of giving God his due, you give to someone else or something else what belongs to God, he continued. That's called adultery. It's a foundational sin. It's the most dangerous sin, and it can lead us down to the path of making ourselves the center of creation. Your thoughts?
Right, and that's isn't that what's at the core of the culture of death?
Yes, it is.
That I get to redefine marriage. I get to redefine myself.
Exactly.
I get to redefine the meaning of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people say, yeah, God, you can be the Lord of my life, but you can't be the Lord of my sexuality.
Right.
Well, the reality is that God did make us. He made us in his image as persons to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And he made us for union with himself. And when we decide for ourselves, and I remember years ago, there's a book, it's a little book, it's written by Dietrich von Hildebrandt,
oh, yeah.
And it's called Humanae Vitae, A Sign of Contradiction. And he argues in there, by the way, that contraception is first and foremost a sin against the first commandment.
Right.
I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're telling God he can't be the Lord. And so this is the same. Now, and by the way, this is the logical consequence of contraceptives in marriage.
Yeah.
Because when you use contraceptive in marriage, then the purpose of sexuality is no longer for the good of the spouses and the procreation of children. The means, which is pleasure, becomes the end.
Exactly.
That becomes its purpose. And so I've even heard people say this, that there's a whole theology of the pleasure of sexuality. Well, no. It's just like eating, you know? The eating is pleasurable so that we will eat. Sexuality is pleasurable so that we will procreate.
Exactly.
And give ourselves freely to one another. But it's supposed to be, in our sexuality, we're supposed to be making a free gift of ourselves to the other. And what happens when you redefine sexuality is there's no possibility for the gift to be given. First of all, you don't accept your own sexuality. So how can you give it as a gift to someone else?
Yep.
And you're not God. You didn't make yourself. God made you either male or female. That's reality. And we need to learn to adapt our thinking.
Yeah.
To reality.
Right.
You know, and when we don't, we become decadent, and we have this culture of death where all I'm living for is the pleasure of the moment. And whatever gives me pleasure in the moment is okay. You're not regarding the other person. The person is no longer a person to be loved. You're seeing them as an object to be used.
Right.
And people become expendable. And unfortunately, this leads into not just killing the old people, but when people become terminally ill and they say, well, I don't want to suffer anymore, and I don't want my family members to have to suffer or take care of me, so I'm just going to have the doctor kill me.
Yeah.
No. All of our suffering can be offered up in union with Jesus to help redeem the world, including all of our joy, by the way. Our joys can be offered up in union with Jesus to help redeem the world.
Yep.
And suffering can become a joy when it's freely embraced. There was a young woman who was had tuberculosis, and the doctor said she was going to die, and a priest came in her room, her hospital room, and she's like, no, Father, don't talk about death. I don't want to hear about death. I don't want to die. I'm young. And he said, would you be willing maybe to offer your sufferings for someone who wants prayers? And she looked at him, and she said, what? You're suffering right now, and so you have a great value in your life because you can gain graces for other people. And as a matter of fact, your brother, who is a priest, has asked me to come and ask you if you will offer the sufferings of this illness. We'll pray for that you be healed, but if you're not healed, offer the sufferings of this illness and your early death, if that's what God is willing, that for his priesthood.
Mm.
And the girl looked at him, and she said, Father, I'll try.
Yeah.
Well, a few days later, she was sent home from the hospital. And they couldn't do anything more for her. They couldn't cure the tuberculosis or arrest it. So she went home, and she lived at home. But she became very joyful, and she became irradiating.
Hmm.
And just before she died, she told her brother, I want you to know that I've been offering my sufferings, and I'm offering
wow.
early death for you.
That's so beautiful.
She found meaning and purpose in her suffering.
Yes.
For all of those of you who are suffering out there, know that there's meaning and purpose in it. And the answer is not to kill people. That's not the answer. The answer is to embrace the suffering in union with Jesus Christ crucified. And it becomes meaningful. It has a purpose.
And you know, Mary, our godfather to our kids, John Hanrahan, God rest his soul, was saying this prayer on his deathbed. Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, assist me in my last agony. And he died with those being on his lips. I mean, he would be praying that prayer, knowing that he's dying, and just asking the Holy Family to be there with him. And I thought that was such a great example for us and for our kids. And maybe you know somebody. Can you teach them that prayer? Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, assist me in my last agony. What a beautiful soul to pray, a beautiful prayer to say at the end of your life. Mary Danielle, my final thoughts. You do a Bible study here on Fridays for Virgin Most Powerful. I'm there with you most of the Fridays when I'm able to join you. Bible with the Barbers. Can you tell our listeners two things? One, they can listen to you by going to vmpr.org or getting the free app and listening to anywhere in the world. But tell us what you do on Fridays to enhance others to have a deeper love for Holy Scripture and a deeper love for a biblical worldview.
Well, the Scriptures are God's holy word to us. Mm-hmm. As someone once said, it's God's love letter to us mm-hmm. that, by the way, he signed with the blood of his son. So it's a deeply personal letter to us. And it's about how much we are loved by God. And this is what I want people to understand and come to know, that the Scriptures are God's holy word. Mm. They are inspired, and God is speaking to us in this moment. Yeah, there's history. There are things that happened in the past. But everything that happened has God's hand, his signature on it. God writes the world the way men write books, St. Thomas Aquinas taught. So we want to fall in love with God's holy word, and we want his holy word to form us. Remember, the word of God is first and foremost a person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God, who became man and is our Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we say the Word of God, it's not just the written word of the Scriptures. It's the Word of God, the person revealing himself to us. Mm. And every word of Scripture speaks to us of the second person of the Blessed Trinity and of all persons, the Father and the Spirit also, to introduce us to God and his love for us and to help us fall in love with him. We can't fall in love with somebody we don't know. We have to know them. Come to know our Lord by studying his holy word.
Well said, and they can do that on virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Go to our website. You can listen to all the podcasts. And then the live show is on Friday, right after the Terry and Jesse show. Mary Danielle, you talked about, I call it the universal call to holiness.
Amen.
The Second Vatican Council's clarion call to all Christians.
Right.
And I think that, in the midst of all the chaos that's going on in the world and even in the church, I think people need to stay focused. At least this is what I've been taught, to live in the presence of God and not let so many of these things bother you when you hear of wars, when you hear about problems in the church or problems in the culture, that we have our trust in Jesus Christ. Can you say a few words about that?
Yes, we're all called to live a holy life and promote the growth of the church and her continual sanctification. And that begins with practicing the presence of God, being conscious that God is always present to us. I remember when I was a child, my father would say, if God forgot about you for even the smallest part of a second, it would be as if you had never been. And I said, oh, well, wait a minute, my birth certificate's there. And he said, no, your birth certificate would disappear. It would be as if you had never been. And I was, it was like, what? Yes, God is that conscious of us, that he's constantly keeping us in being, and he's loving us. Mm. And so we want to just be present to him and accept that love. We can't cure the problems in the world.
Yeah.
Now, we're supposed to be Christ to others, and we're supposed to bring his love to others. And when we do that, it changes things, and it changes people, and people change every day. So we want to be Christ to others, but we have to first be in touch with Christ.
Amen.
Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, if I didn't see Jesus in the Eucharist, I couldn't see him in my neighbor.
Well said. You know, Mary, Bishop Strickland is going to come up right after our show in the next couple of minutes. And I can't think of a better bishop in the United States. He's really speaks the truth with clarity and charity. He's, in my opinion, the most outspoken bishop in America. And he's going to talk about the Bishops' Conference coming up next week. And he's going to talk about the Holy Eucharist and why we need to be concerned about giving the Holy Eucharist to anyone who's not in the state of grace. And Mary, that's what I ask the last question to Jesse every single day. So join us here at the Virgin Most Powerful Radio to listen to Bishop Strickland's Hour every Tuesday. And you can go to vmpr.org, download the free app, because it's refreshing to hear a bishop who's so clear about what the truth is. He said it doesn't change. But my last question to you, Mary Danielle, for this hour is, what state should we be living in?
The state of grace.
You got it, girl. And next, we're going to have a nice lunch after this, because this is a pre-recorded show coming up with Bishop Strickland. I'm Terry Barber with Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. My brother Jesse will be back with me tomorrow. Don't forget the men's conference this Saturday. Honey, get all your girlfriends to get their husbands to go and call us at 877-526-2151. Register for the conference this Saturday. God love you. Full sheen ahead.